From the Land-Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It's the 22nd day of January 2009. I'm Todd Gleason. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Dan Zwicker of ADM Grain Group. He's in Decatur, Illinois. In agricultural news, the economic stimulus package moving through Capitol Hill has earmarked some $250 million to fix computer problems at USDA. And speaking of which, the agency's new head, former Iowa Governor Tom Vilsack, says the new cool rules may be too loosely written. And a review is in the works. And this new Secretary of Ag has wasted no time in singling out USDA's hunger programs as a place for economic emphasis. And then later in the program, we'll hear more about that great big land sale that took place in Springfield yesterday. We'll have all the final figures. And at the end of this half hour, meteorologist Peter Levitt will join us to take us through the agricultural weather forecast. It all happens on this Thursday edition of the Closing Market Report. The Closing Market Report is a production of WILL. It's public radio from the University of Illinois.
The Closing Market Report is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn specialists. More information is at AgriGold.com or at 800-262-7333.
In Chicago, on this Thursday afternoon, futures finished the day like this. Nearby July wheat down 4.5 cents at 604.5, or rather at 591.25, down 4.5 cents. That March contract down 5 at 566.75, and the May wheat at 579.5 cents was down 5 cents on the afternoon. From the corn pit today, futures finished the nearby March at 387.5, down 2.75. May futures at 398.5, down 2.5 cents. And July contract at $4.09, down 2.25. September futures, 419.75, finished 2 cents lower. And December corn at 433.5, the new crop, down 2.25. March soybean futures, $10.12, down 8.5. The May at 1019.5, down 9.75. And July at 1027.5, down 11 cents. August 1018.5, down 12.5. And November soybean futures at 957.5, down 16.5 cents. March bean meal at 318.20, down 220. March oil at 33.53, down 42 for the day. February live cattle futures 82.27.5, 7.5 cents lower. The April's at 85.40, up 20. January feeders at 93.47.5, 60 cents higher. The March at 92.30, up 95. And Feb lean hogs 32.5 cents higher at 59.65. You're listening to the Closing Market Report from the University of Illinois. Here's what the outside markets look like at this hour. March crude oil futures for the afternoon at 43.67, 12 cents higher. February at $1.57.8, just about unchanged. Naturally in the ethanol, that is. Natural gas at 4.66.8, 11.2 cents lower. The RBOB at 1.79 is down 9.4 of a cent, and the heating oil at $1.34.2, 4.3 lower. Propane futures at 71.7 of a cent, just about a tenth lower. Gold futures at $858.28 an ounce, up $8.60 for the day. The Dow Jones Industrial Average stands at 81.25, 102 points lower. The U.S. dollar at 85.61 is down 0.36 on the afternoon. And the CRB index for the day currently stands at 217.24. That's down 2.71. Here's what the weather forecast from our own Mike Sola looks like for the afternoon. Partly to mostly sunny and warmer across the two-state region. Highs will range from 30 in far northern Indiana to near 60 in the far southwestern part of Illinois. And then tonight in the south, becoming mostly cloudy elsewhere. Clear to partly cloudy with areas of patchy fog. Lows will range from 20 in northwestern Illinois to 40 in southwestern Illinois. And Friday should be partly to mostly cloudy. Highs across the two-state will range from 25 in the northwestern part of this state to 55 in southern Illinois. The extended forecast says colder conditions will return to the area this weekend and persist into the middle of next week. The coldest temps will occur Saturday night with below zero lows returning to the northern third of Illinois.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Lernard Seed Service, an independent dealer providing DeKalb and Asgro seed products, including Asgro's new Roundup Ready 2-yield soybeans. Lernard Seed Service provides services to help customers in East Central Illinois maximize profits. 217-497-2270.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report on a Thursday afternoon. Time to talk with Dan Zwicker of ADM Grain Group out of Decatur, Illinois. Good afternoon to you, Dan.
Hi, Todd.
How are you today?
I'm doing just fine.
You're traveling again. Where are you this afternoon?
I am still in Chicago, attending a top producer marketing seminar.
So you're still in Chicago. That means you started out there on the weekend with the big ADM gathering, right?
Yeah, I'm about ready to take up a Chicago residence like our governor, I guess.
He might have a new residence sometime soon. Well, okay, let's talk. So what have you learned this week then while you're in Chicago? Anything interesting?
Well, it's a top producer here, Farm Journal, has about 600 farmers up here pretty well throughout. I don't know if every state is represented, but we've got them from all over the U.S. And the main purpose of this seminar is basically for networking. Farmers want to be able to network with someone outside of their area. They can kind of share information, not necessarily with a competitor. That might be, you know, they might be wrestling over future land opportunities and that kind of stuff. So you have a lot of networking going on. You really get a good feel of what's going on out in the country. And, of course, the big buzz this year, of course, no matter where you go, is input costs and who's coming down and who's not coming down and what's going to happen to fertilizer prices and some of these larger farmers are, you know, they're probably going to go direct and buy barges and just bring it in themselves and bypass their local retail outlet. So you're hearing a lot of that maneuvering going on.
Geographically, who you think has the best input prices at this point? Can you put it on a part of the world? For instance, I would have thought maybe the southern part of the U.S. if you got into Memphis and those areas might have better prices?
Well, I don't necessarily know exactly, but I do know that some of these larger farmers are talking about buying barges of fertilizer and moving it into their individual farm operation, whether it's an Illinois operation or Indiana or Iowa. So some of these guys are big enough, can buy barges of fertilizer, and they're going to go through third-party people and broker that in. So it's about like anything. It's kind of like, you know, any kind of bargaining. There's a lot of bargaining going on clear across the spectrum on input costs.
You know, speaking of bargaining, why don't you tell me what you've heard from the Chicago Board of Trade directly then today?
I suppose confusion. I think there's an awful lot of noise in the marketplace. And, of course, you know, start off with, we're kind of trading a South American weather market. So,
right.
You know, the weather people, you know, they add rain, take it out, put it in, take it out. So the markets jumps up and down based upon those type of model guidance. And then, of course, you still have the economic noise and concern of a deepening type recession, especially with the Dow down sharply earlier today. But I think when you look at our closes here in corn and soybeans coming back from where we were earlier and only being down 2.5 or so on corn and, you know, 8 to 10 on the front end of beans, and the back end beans, of course, are getting hit pretty hard on ideas that we're going to see a big jump in the new crop soybean plantings and that kind of stuff. So you're seeing more of a bull spread situation occur in beans. But I still, from a technical point of view, you kind of view this as a correction or a consolidation phase off of the 5-week advance that we had during the month of December into early January. So we're kind of in that consolidation phase. It's a little early to tell whether or not this break that we've had here is going to hold and the market's going to maybe try to rally into February or if it's going to fail. I think what we need to kind of look for to see if this market may have an opportunity to try to rally for a week or two here and maybe finish off January strong is whether or not the market is able to come back for a higher close for the week. We're still down for the week. I think if corn would close 4 or 5 cents higher tomorrow, I think we'd be kind of like an unchanged to maybe a little higher close for the week. I think beans need to go up 8 to 10 or so on the front months. I think if we could, you know, get a good rally tomorrow and escape the a lot of the bearishness that we kind of started the week off with a big reversal to the downside there on Tuesday, I think would at least provide some little underlying support to the marketplace, and we could maybe see maybe next week being the last week of January being an up week, and then that would also increase chances that we could maybe finish out the month of January even rather than down for the month.
Can I bring you back to the top producer conference for just a bit very quickly? Because you mentioned the bigger producers wanting to bring in maybe whole barges. That tells me they're probably corn. I wonder if you've got an idea out of those producers are there, what their acreage spread is like in terms of percentage on corn and soybeans, and whether in general those larger producers will be putting more beans in the ground or if they'll stick with corn.
Well, it's kind of hard to say. I don't know specifically, but I think just because they're larger doesn't necessarily mean that their mix is different than a medium-sized farmer or a small farmer. I think everybody's kind of likes this 50-50, or they might be a little more heavier tilted toward corn because corn's been a little more, much more profitable crop if you've got real productive soils. But no, I mean, I think with some of these, the guys that didn't, that's weighted some of this input cost decline out, I think they're getting in position to plant corn. I think they've seen enough competitiveness inputs coming down, but they're still not committed because the market still hasn't given them a real good incentive to plant corn yet. I mean, if the market is offering you an opportunity to plant for the market, it's probably soybeans, and you can see new crop soybeans being down 16 cents. The market is starting to get a whiff of that. We're going to see a big jump in soybean acres if this corn situation doesn't try to rally to ensure that we hold acres even or just have a small slippage in acreage.
I'm sure they asked you, what did you tell them when they asked which crop they should plant?
Well, I don't know. I mean, each individual has to kind of pick out which one they have to. But, I mean, I think longer term demand is going to be probably a little better than what it is right now. It's kind of like the way I explained the farmers. We're kind of like looking across the Grand Canyon. We know that there's better opportunities ahead of us, but we haven't figured out how to get across the Grand Canyon yet, and I think that's kind of where we're at in commodity marketing. So I do think there's better opportunities ahead, but right now, the news is so bearish, it's amazing, you know, how bearish things can be.
Dan, thanks for joining us.
Very well.
And safe travels home.
Very good.
Dan Zwicker is with ADM Grain Group out of Decatur, Illinois, joins us here on the Closing Market Report on a Thursday afternoon.
Agricultural information is made possible with support from ADM. ADM thanks America's farmers because everything they do starts with you.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report. You can hear it again if you'd like at willag.org. Dave Dickey is here now with a look at today's agricultural news.
In agricultural news, House Agriculture Committee Chairman Colin Peterson says the economic stimulus package moving through the House of Representatives will contain $250 million to fix long-term problems in the Agriculture Department computer system. Senate Budget Committee Chairman Kent Conrad also confirmed that the money is in the bill on the Senate side. Former USDA officials say that the department is rife with computer problems that could lead to problems with farmers collecting government payments, as well as challenges implementing new programs from the Farm Bill. USDA Secretary Tom Vilsack says that the department will review newly issued regulations, including rules that require country of origin labels on meat sold in U.S. grocery stores. Some cattle and consumer groups say the rule, issued with an effective date of March 16th, is too loosely written to apply to most pork and the majority of frozen produce, and allows meat packers to avoid specifying the origin of meat. Vilsack, on his first day on the job, also told reporters he expected additional spending on U.S. anti-hunger programs, such as food stamps and school lunches. He said that public nutrition programs were a surefire way to stimulate economic activity. Bush administration regulations for the Environmental Quality Incentives Program, the Grasslands and Wetlands Reserve Programs, the Farm and Ranch Land Protection Program, and other conservation programs issued in the last days of the Bush administration will also be subject to review. Fewer Sun Energy Corporation has scheduled a creditors meeting on January 28th to meet with corn producers who contracted to deliver corn to the company. The meeting is closed to the media. Farmers will hear from the company's senior management personnel, legal counsel, and financial advisors about the current state of the Chapter 11 bankruptcy filed by VeraSun on October 31st of last year. Later, the ad hoc corn suppliers, a group of farmers from Nebraska, Iowa, and Michigan, represented by Omaha attorney David Swanson, will host an informational meeting that will be open to the public. And the European Commission yesterday recommended farmers be allowed to grow two new varieties of genetically modified crops in the European Union. That's only the second time it has taken such a step in the past decade. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Hey, thanks, Dave. Dave Dickey is Director of Agricultural Programming at WILL, Public Radio for the Farming World. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason, the host of the Closing Market Report, this program, and of Commodity Week. You can hear them both anytime you'd like on our website at willag.org. Listen to them directly from the website or sign up to have them delivered to your computer automatically as a podcast. In fact, if you happen to have iTunes installed already on a PC or a Mac, it's a free piece of software. Just go to apple.com and download iTunes. You can search my name, Todd Gleason, and you'll find both of those programs, and you can put them down as a podcast automatically. But one way or the other, please visit our website at willag.org. On that site, you can also sign up for our free weekend newsletter. It's an awfully good one. It's all about marketing and what happened during the week at willag.org. Now, yesterday I was pretty excited about this great big sale that took place in Springfield at the Crown Plaza. The Kilton Farms near Litchfield sold. The ground itself is on Herrick and a couple of other different soils that I didn't really recognize. They're not too bad a soil. There were 4,010 acres there. On average, they sold, here's the final number, for $5,985.54 an acre. The total sale, $24,005,397. Rita Frazier, who's with WSMI, worked with RFD Illinois to file this report.
Emotions ran high in Springfield on Wednesday for one of the largest land sales in recent memory. 4,000 acres of prime mid-Illinois farmland in Montgomery and Macoupin County, Illinois. The average price paid about $6,000 an acre with a final price tag of $24 million. The largest single bid in the auction, $15.2 million, was for 2,462 acres. A group out of Litchfield purchased the ground. A group of farmers who have been farming that ground for decades. Jeff Helgen was a part of that group. He talks about their bid.
It's basically just that, for that very reason, just to keep it local. We just You know, it's been obviously part of the community for many, many years, and we wanted to keep it that way the best we could. We just all pooled together and kind of came together as neighbors and did what we could.
So what about for your family specifically? What does this mean to you? And tell us about the history of what you guys have farmed.
We've been farming a portion of Kilton land since the 70s, and obviously it's been a very important part of our operation. It was pretty important to retain that if it was at all possible.
You also had support not only from your neighbors and some friends in the area, but you also had a lot of support from the local banking community. It took a lot of cooperation to get this done.
Yes, it did. And I think for the most part, the local banks have been, you know, they've definitely stepped up to the plate on this whole thing. So, you know, I think they saw the importance of keeping things local, too.
Jeff said it ended up to be 16 different farms and farmers that came together to make yesterday possible. And he says it's not only important for the farming community, but he says it's a big boost to the local economy in Montgomery and Macoupin counties.
Well, ground doesn't change hands that often, and sometimes it's not good to bring in outside people into the community, because typically that money does not go back into the community. And that's the importance of trying to keep it locally owned, because for the most part, I think all of the vendors in our group will deal locally and help our local economy.
What does this do for you now, Jeff? How do you feel about the future?
Well, I'd be honest with you, I'm getting lots of phone calls and people contacting us. So as far as the future, who knows? I think it's something that could possibly open the doors for a lot of people in the area. As a result of that, just let people know that we all can, you know, work together as a local group of farmers, and, you know, we can all be neighbors, you know, continue the farming tradition.
As Jeff Helgen and the Litchfield Partners Group making the single largest buy yesterday, 10 smaller purchases accounted for the rest of the sale price of the $24 million sale in Springfield yesterday. Reporting for RFD Illinois from WSMI in Litchfield, I'm Rita Frazier.
Our thanks to Rita Frazier. She's the local farm broadcaster in the Litchfield area at WSMI. Tune her in if you get the opportunity and you're traveling through that part of the state. By the way, I wanted you to think about this just a little bit for the folks that are listening through this program as opposed to this program. Because $24 million is a lot of money, and $5,000 or $6,000 an acre is a lot of money. And I thought maybe you ought to understand just exactly what this really means, and that it's about proximity of the farm to your personal farm, and really, as Rita explained to some extent, about that local community, Litchfield. So if you just go through the numbers and do the data, and you say they purchased the farm, we'll round, at $6,000 an acre, and they paid 4% interest on it, so they borrowed $6,000 at 4%. That's $240 in interest payments each year. Now, I talked to Dale Latz this morning. He's a farm business, farm management specialist here on campus, and he says in the coming year, expectations that the return on that farm should be about $300 an acre. Then that's a $60 profit. Would you spend $6,000 to make $60? This is as much about the local community and the proximity of the land to that owner's operation as it is about anything. So while $24 million is a really big figure, the investment may not return that much, but over the long haul, these producers believe that it puts them in a better position. That's yet to be seen, and we'll find out over time. I just thought you should know. In just about 2 minutes, we'll talk with agricultural meteorologist Peter Levitt. You are listening to the Closing Market Report from the University of Illinois. I'm Todd Gleason.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Risk Management Commodities, with offices in Chalmers and Lafayette, Indiana, and Hudsonville, Illinois. Risk Management Commodities provides commodities analysis and recommendations for business and agriculture throughout East Central Illinois and Western Indiana. 866-837-9027.
With this look at AM 580 News, I'm Jim Meadows. A demolition crew was on the job in downtown Champaign at the site of the Metropolitan Building and its damaged next-door neighbor. A section of North Neal Street has been closed for 2.5 months, ever since the Metropolitan burned to the ground and a neighboring insurance office was put at risk of collapsing into the street. Demolition at the site was held up because the insurance companies for the properties wanted a site inspection to determine the cause of the fire. That inspection is going on now as contractors remove debris for analysis. Champaign City officials say the actual demolition should begin on Monday. Impeached Illinois Governor Rob Blagojevich has called the upcoming trial on whether to remove him from office a sham because he feels the proceedings are unfair. Blagojevich told reporters outside his Chicago home today that the trial denies him the right to due process because he can't call the witnesses he'd like to. University of Illinois law professor Francis A. Boyle has nominated former Illinois Governor George Ryan for the Nobel Peace Prize for the sixth time. Boyle says Ryan deserves the prize for his stand against the death penalty, even though he's in jail. A Champaign tuberculosis patient will be tracked by GPS and could go to jail if he violates court orders that he remain isolated for 30 days while being treated. Champaign County Circuit Judge John Kennedy imposed those conditions on 20-year-old Claissant Botempe on Tuesday. Health officials and prosecutors say Botempe failed to take precautions to avoid spreading the disease. School children will help celebrate the 200th anniversary of the birth of Abraham Lincoln February 12th at the Indiana State House. Governor Mitch Daniels will present awards to students who won contests for essays, presentations, or stamps honoring Lincoln. The 16th president lived in Indiana from age 7 to 21. I'm Jim Meadows, AM 580 News.
Agricultural programs are made possible by First Midwest Bank, serving Illinois' agricultural community with locations in Champaign, Danville, Galesburg, Morris, and McHenry. More information is available from Mike Morris in McHenry at 815-344-7213. First Midwest Bank, member FDIC, an equal housing lender.
You're listening to the Closing Mark Report on a Thursday afternoon, the 22nd day of January. Pete Levitt is with us now to take a look at the agricultural weather forecast. Hi, Pete.
Yes, good afternoon, Todd.
Well, how's it out there on the East Coast as opposed to here where it's really kind of a beautiful day?
Yeah, we've been having cold weather here on the East Coast. As a matter of fact, we're running below normal for the month, but so is Illinois. Chicago's about 5 degrees below normal for the month of January, despite all those promises of nice warm weather. Today is one of the days that is not meeting the cold standard for Illinois this month, though we've got beautiful weather, as you say, temperature in the upper 30s in central areas, in the 50s south of Interstate 64. And we've got maybe another 12 or 18 hours to enjoy that. And then along comes another one of those cold fronts, and that'll be entering the western part of Illinois after midnight tonight, come across the state during the day. We'll probably get up to maybe close to 40 degrees in the local area tomorrow afternoon before the cold air sets in. Then it's down to the single numbers on Friday night. Probably 7 or 8 degrees, highs only in the 20s on Saturday, and Sunday almost an identical day with maybe a little colder start down in the low single numbers, maybe near zero, as a matter of fact, on Sunday. Then cold weather continues through Monday and Tuesday as a large Arctic high sprawls across the region. We finally start to see some warming at the end of the week, and then we're just getting back to normal. Now, the good news here is that there's really not much precipitation associated with any of these events. Most of the action will be further north and up in the upper Great Lakes, and maybe there'll be a few snow showers here or there. They'll be brief. They shouldn't accumulate. So it's just going to be brisk, cold winter weather this coming week.
And finally, because we have many listeners in the northern third of Illinois, and maybe you can just confirm this and then go on to South American weather, that they may have below zero weather over the weekend, too. Is that right?
Yes, that's right. In northern Illinois, they will get down there. The models right now only hold them about one or two above, but the way things have been running this season, I think they'll dip below zero. Not the kind of really bitter cold we saw last week, but it'll be cold enough.
And 1 minute left to go through South America.
Okay, South America, and it's the same old bugaboo down there. It's Argentina that seems to be the problem area. They can't get a stretch of showers that will relieve them of moisture stress in the Argentine. And so they're hot and dry again. They got up into the mid-90s this past week in the Argentine. Tough on the crops there, while further north in Brazil, they get little showers and a little dry weather, and the showers move north and cover the northern portion of the southern Brazilian soybean belt. So they're doing pretty well up there, but the Argentine is still struggling to get enough moisture to get a crop growing continuously, just licking a promise every so often with the precipitation, and then it's back to dry again.
We'll check in again with you next week.
Mm-hmm.
All right, thanks much.
Right.
Pete Leavitt is meteorologist. He's actually in Massachusetts, joins us here on the Closing Market Report each and every Thursday afternoon. Visit our website at willag.org, and don't forget to dial this number and listen to us again if you'd like on your phone, 217-333-3434. Have a great afternoon. I'm Todd Gleason.